50208 Media.
My name is Robbie DeShazer, and I love craft beer. Living in Austin, the craft beer capital of Texas, there's no shortage of great brews to try out. That's why I decided to make this show. I got my best friends Carter and Wendy with me, and together we're going to try new beers and really stretch ourselves to the limits of our taste buds. Because we know that beer is more than just the fizzy yellow stuff you see on TV. This is Tap Heads.
Freaking heater.
It's
don't let him touch you. He'll melt you.
Fuck those heaters. Welcome to Tap Heads, everybody.
Wait, was that really Welcome to Tap Heads?
Yeah, that was really Welcome to Tap Aww. Heads, everybody.
Can you put a little more oomph into it?
Welcome to Tap Heads.
Yeah! I'm worried about yelling. But
you're good. You're good. I've got your level set appropriately.
But you feel like, appropriately. It feels very chill.
Feels very chill.
Did you get new glasses?
I did.
You just noticed.
Lovely.
Wow.
I haven't been looking. I literally have been on my phone the whole time. Why are you a very bad friend?
Phones away, everybody. We're recording a podcast right now.
Like a real family.
I know.
Carter.
At the kitchen table.
Quite literally.
I know.
Hi, welcome to Tap Heads. This is the show. It's recording right now. And I'm serious. Put your phones away. What are we doing?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah. I was trying to see. I was checking my tap, my untap, to see if I've tried new beer though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you can do that. Hi, I'm Robbie DeShazer. To my right is not as always, because he's usually on my left. Mr. Carter Spilliards.
Hello, everyone. How are we doing?
At CA Spilliards on Twitter.
That's me.
At CA Spilliards on Untapped.
Correct.
I don't know.
Maybe Carter _ Spilliards.
Maybe. Who knows?
Maybe Carter Spilliards.
You should check that. You should post more to that.
Something. But then I have to remember.
We're working on your Twitter game right now. It's okay.
I'm doing one thing at a time.
You're doing one thing?
I just started tweeting again.
One day at a time on ABC?
Maddie actually saw your tweets. That's and I was like, wow, I'm so glad that like he's actually starting a tweet and he's getting recognized for it.
Yeah.
Because
I'm a funny person. And these deserve to be shared with the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To his right, the one, the only, as always, here with us, Wendy Lopez.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here.
At Wendy with a W on Twitter.
I don't know why when you said my name, in my head I heard the little, and I was like, do I think of myself as a joke? Unrelated. Thanks for introducing me. Happy to be here. Love you guys.
At Wendy with a W on Untapped.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. And then, of course, this week's guest over to her right, from the Film Fracas podcast and her blog 90 Films, the one, the only, Shannon Widener.
Hello, everyone. So good to be here. Thank you for having me. Gonna drink some beer.
So excited. I'm always for ladies being on the show.
Yes. Yeah. Beer. Women.
Beer.
Cold beer.
Cold bear.
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 Anyway.
Yeah. So, Shannon, we're here for you, essentially. This is your mixed six. So, fuck these other two. I don't know what they're still doing here.
That's cool, Baines. I'm here. Love to be where I'm wanted.
I helped pick them out.
Yeah, Carter did a great job.
So, Wendy, you can leave.
That's
no,
cool.
Wendy, she gets to stay.
Shannon specifically said she wanted me, which means you can leave, Carter.
Oh, okay.
We ladies got to stay together.
Yeah.
Yeah, bitch.
But I'm excited. This is going to be enjoyable.
Yeah.
Supposedly, our episodes with Wendy do better. So.
Well, that's all of them?
Except a couple. There's two that don't have her.
Oh, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yes. And the ratings just completely plummet.
Yeah, apparently.
Yes. Oh, my God.
There's still time.
You know the...
Seriously, there is still time. Go listen to last time's episode. It is very good. It's an interview. It's very different from our normal format, so I don't think people are picking it up as much, but please go listen to it. It was a lot of fun to do, even though it is just me and Scott Smith from The Brutique. Anyway, so Shannon, why don't you go ahead and share with us what kind of beers you like or your experience with beers or what?
Sure. So,
you can word for word say what you texted me and what we have talked about.
I might mix it up, kind of sound off. I've never really been like, you know, much of a...
She's like, I love winter beer and hazy IPAs. Yeah. I love Hans Pils.
Well,
good beer.
So I just need none of that. All Kolsch's and Pilsners, please.
But no, I'm not like, I've never really been a huge beer person, and I think it's lot of the fact that
is it because of the options that have been given to you?
Most likely. I don't know. I didn't grow up around people that were really into beer. I haven't been ingratiated within the beer community, if there is one. And I think naturally, I just don't.
They're very mean.
I don't gravitate toward beer naturally. I'm including more of a wine lady. Person.
Not surprising.
More. Wait for the wine podcast.
Yeah. Corkheads. But
are you gonna try and pull the rug out from under me like this?
Yes.
I do respect alcohol and all of its many
podcast barrel heads.
Variants. And okay, so I like sour flavors, nutty flavors as well. When I drink my coffee, I prefer hazelnut flavors.
Yes.
I like stout. Anything that's I guess probably light. I think my main problem or the main taste profile that I don't love with beer is the hoppy, crazy overpowering bitterness that hits you like a smack in the face. You don't want beers that
literally smell like weed.
We should not have gotten that triple IPA.
But I get it. It's especially when you don't drink beer.
Yeah, I have not. Yeah, I mean, at this point in time, I don't prefer that flavor profile just because it's not something that I'm used to or have built up an acquired taste
for. It is for sure an acquired taste. Mm-hmm. I think.
And I'm good with starting the acquiring, I think we're starting from ground zero.
Just now starting to branch out into more.
Yeah. And you can material. Definitely if you hear the show, you can hear me gradually like these more. But Shannon,
Wendy's definitely coming around to hops more so than Carter has. Carter's working towards it, I think.
I mean, it depends.
I think it's because you stick a lot to whipped beers and Right. But Shannon, I want to apologize in advance for the 90-minute Dogfish Head IPA that we got. No, I'm kidding.
I just have 6 bottles of 120-minute IPA from Dogfish Head. That's a real thing. We might do an episode because both 120 and Worldwide Stout are available right now.
Yeah.
And you mix those together to make a fantastic black and tan.
Interesting.
Which is a beer cocktail in which you mix a dark beer and a lighter beer.
Didn't even know this existed. Yes. Wow, I'm already learning so much.
Yeah, okay, so that's
very informative.
So, I mean, because, and we're probably going to hit a lot of these as we do more mixed six with people that are outside of the podcast beforehand. So we're going to do, any questions you have, Shannon, about what I am doing, about any of the abbreviations or anything like that I say, ask them, please.
Yeah. Oh, don't worry. I love questions. Very much will.
I also realized as I was putting together the notes for this episode, we went really Austin heavy.
Yes.
Which is fun.
I think it also may have been where we were shopping.
Where'd you guys shop for the beer?
So we went to Witchcraft.
Yeah.
Which I think almost everything on that wall was Austin or Texas.
Not surprised, but Austin.
And then there's a couple of national brands one of the beers we'll get to.
That's good.
But I think there's only 2 beers on this list that are not from Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the beauty, though, obviously, this is just a start, Obviously, if you come back on the show, that'd be great. But if you end up liking some of these places, because they're local, you could always go check out the breweries. Which is really
support. A lot That's of these good. Are going to be on tap, especially one of these that we're going to do later. And also, fantastic. You talked about the beer community. These are great starting places. I think all of these beers are beyond the basics of what Austin craft beer has to offer because of your taste and because of the fact that a lot of the starter beers in Austin are Live Oak Hefeweizen. I don't know if you've seen, that's a pretty common one you see.
Yeah, I think I've heard of them.
A lot of the Austin Beer Works Pilsners and their lagers are very popular.
Yep.
But those are a lot more beers,
Yeah.
A lot more traditional.
Definitely picked out some unique ones today.
Yeah. Let's get into doing some drinking. Our first one, this is definitely going to scratch that sour itch.
Yes.
This is Live Oak Brewing from Austin, Texas. This is this is called Berliner Weiss. It is a Berliner Weiss.
Cool.
And what is that? Why, what's the, is there any significance behind the naming, Berlin?
It is a German style of beer.
Okay. Which means what?
In this sense, it just means that the recipe is a particularly German recipe. But Berliner Weiss is a style in and of itself. Most Live Oak brews are actually named for the exact style that they are. So Live Oak Hefeweizen is a Hefeweizen. Live Oak Pils is a Pilsner. Mm-hmm. Let me finish pouring this. Carter and I had this not too long ago. Just keep passing it down.
Yeah, we had it at the Live Oak.
I have not had this other than on tap.
On tap. And what they were doing at the tap room was...
Actually mixing it with...
Mixing it with syrups.
To get into the style and what it is. It is a wheat beer.
Okay.
So it is made with wheat as your malt character. So malts are pretty much any of the wheats or barley that goes into a beer. Mm-hmm. And... Sorry, let me go back. Beer is made with essentially four ingredients, and then everything else that gets put in is an add-on. So those are malt, hops, water, and yeast. So those four things make up any beer. So the malt character is either going to typically be some kind of barley or some kind of wheat. Your hops, there's a large variety of hops that exist, and your yeast and water are yeast and water. And so there's different strains of yeast, but like people don't. People can really get into yeast, and it's. But also, most places just make it with like their house yeast strain.
Interesting. I mean, how in depth can you go with yeast? But I
you can go pretty crazy in depth.
You can do a can analysis.
Yeah, it's a cute Live Oak aesthetic. You know, the simple white, yellow, like looks like it could be a like baseball jersey or you know like baseball shirts, which is cute. And then of course because it's like Robbie said, like the strains of like barley and stuff or the wheat, it has a little thing in there, the green.
Yeah.
So if you notice, it's got a very kind of light.
Oh, we'll walk Shannon through how to taste beer or how to academically taste beer.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can just drink it, but the way that you typically do it is the first thing you do is kind of hold it up to the light.
Look at the.
That's why we always keep that light on it. Look at the color. You can see it's very hazy.
Very
you can't
hazy.
See through it. Practically at all.
It's not very filtered.
It's not, this is an unfiltered style of beer. Also, it's kind of got color-wise, like a lemonade color almost, which is appropriate for what this flavor is going to kind of be.
Yep.
Ooh.
The next thing we do is smell sniff it. Okay. You can straight up stick your nose in it, kind of give it a once under.
Smells very sour.
Yeah.
Smells very
sour.
But
I could also, I think it smells pretty bready too.
Yeah, I get some of that bread.
Yeah, I get bread notes.
Some of that yeast note, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Almost a little bit like toast.
Yeah.
Like very light toast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am getting that. Yeah.
You can smell a little bit of that kind of full-bodied fruit, kind of that banana taste you tend to get with a lot of...
With the Hefeweizens.
Yeah, with a lot of wheat beers.
Yeah. On the show, or at least, I don't know if you've had other Berliner Weiss, but the ones I can find are the Einhorns.
Einhorns were all Berliner Weiss.
I was going to say, when we did the Einhorns.
Those have added flavors to them. Yep. This is a...
It's just straight Berliner Weiss, so it's going to be sour. All
right.
But now I traced it.
Bottoms up.
So it's...
Oh, I like this.
All right.
Dope.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
I like that.
You get that nice yeasty aftertaste, which is a little...
Oh, yeah.
Just to give you... This is 3.2% alcohol by volume, and it has 6 IBUs.
Really?
Yeah. What's an IBU?
An IBU is short for International Bittering Unit. So it's kind of a scale of about 1 to 150 on how bitter it is. So this is not very bitter at all.
You know that light toast that you smelled? I taste that.
It's not a super precise way of measuring bitterness, and we've talked about this before, is that it also, like, some of your bitterness is dependent upon what your malt character is as well. So, like, there are some stouts that are, because they're bigger beers, and because they have very bold malt character, they have higher hop values, they have higher IBUs, but you don't really taste that bitterness. You get more of a coffee bitterness.
Yeah.
This, however, you're not getting barely any bitterness. All of it is from this, the yeast and the malt. And
I think the sour also covers up the bitter.
Yes, and I like that. It's got a very a clean taste to it. And the aftertaste is not unpleasant either. It's not overpowering.
It's very interesting.
It is.
It's kind of like oaty. That might be a word.
A little bit.
Yeah.
It is undeniably a beer, but it is not you know.
It's definitely not what you think of like the beer. Like it's not a Kolsch, it's not a lager. Yeah. It's not like the St. Elmo's Carl. Like the that's Carl a Kolsch? Very beer. Yeah. It's just none of those things.
Yeah.
It's very much a sour.
That aftertaste is very,
I love that. Because, like, I like the wheat beers fine, but sometimes there's just too much, and I like that this you have both. And even then, like, that weed is very light, or just tastes light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, general thoughts on it, Shannon?
I quite liked it. Once again, I like the, it's a very crisp, clean tasting beer, yeah. Almost like a cider, almost. That's the only thing I can think to compare it to.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
that's really the only, kind of like comparable, dry, yeah. comparable, mm-hmm. but like kind of it tastes like it wants to be fruity, and I don't have the vocabulary or the experience yet to be yeah. able to say, like, okay, I can yeah. pinpoint it. You were talking about banana earlier and mm-hmm. how that normally is paired with these kinds of beers. Yeah.
But it's definitely a different profile, though. You're right.
Yeah, it is, because I'm thinking of...
It's got kind of a dryness and astringency yes. almost. Mm-hmm. Not as what I assume this next one.
Yeah, I was just going to comment, it's not as astringent as I thought it would be.
Yeah. Oh,
there's some that it instantly is just like almost like dry mouth. It's, like yeah. it's there and gone.
Yeah.
It's not, no, it's, and sometimes it's pretty, there's a yeah. bad astringency, yeah. and that's from like either infected yeah. beer or ill prepared beer. Mm-hmm. This is, it feels intentional.
Yeah. It's a gradual thing. Yeah. It kind of goes with the aftertaste as well. Mark of a good brewer, Live yes. Oak. Some of the most consistent brewing.
Yeah.
Outside of Cellus, of course.
And like you guys said, the, what's it called? Their brewery's pretty dope.
Yeah.
Their brewery is very awesome. Dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we okay. didn't even talk about what we've been drinking recently.
Yeah. Oh, no, we didn't.
We'll hit that at the
you
end.
Immediately jumped into it, and I was like, all right, let's go.
Yeah, because I had so much to introduce, like, Shannon to.
Yeah, we'll hit that. We'll hit that at the end.
I'm ranking.
I have one thing in particular I want to talk about.
Well, talk about it right now before.
Okay. So we went to the Cellus Brewery last week.
Oh, you want and, to talk about that.
Yeah, and so at the brewery, so they have their Waller Creek, which I think we talked about before, which is a cherry sour.
It's a creek.
Mm-hmm. And it was very good. It's one of my favorites. And what they have there is they call it a cherry bomb, and they have their lime Berliner Weiss. And they do 3 parts lime Berliner Weiss, 1 part of the Waller Creek. And... it was fantastic.
It's delicious.
Tastes like a cherry lemonade.
It's adult tonic, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so that's very good. I've had some good beers. Once again, shout out to the 512 yep. Funky Kingston, which we had last night. Was that the one we had
last night? That was very good.
And then 2 of the beers that I've been really enjoying recently are both going to be on this show, so I won't shout them out until yes. they make appearances.
There's one I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Riley,
this next one is one of our outside of Austin... ones. This is from Avery Brewing Company out of Boulder, Colorado. This is their Rocky Mountain Rosé.
Nice.
So this is a kind of a style we haven't had on the show before. Mm. It's called Grape and Grain, which is kind of where you blend wine and beer. I was going
to say, it looks like a rosé.
Yeah, rosé. It does, and it's got the bubbliness.
Yeah. It's got a great can.
It's got a great,
Shannon,
yes.
I don't know if you've had some water. Drink some water.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, make sure you drink water between just to cleanse your palate.
Oh, this is a very... like just like smart can.
I love the Avery cans. Honestly, we had their mm-hmm. White Rascal wit beer.
Oh yeah,
back on our wit beers yep. episode.
Also, fun fact: my friend Hannah told me from work. She said that if you like sniff yourself, that helps you like clean your like yeah. senses.
I've always thought about having a bowl of coffee beans actually for us to pass around because that also will
really. Yeah, just gonna smell
if you
coffee.
If you just stick your nose in a bowl of coffee,
yeah.
It's also an extremely different smell from most stuff.
Yeah.
So.
This, yeah, Carter said it best. This looks like a rosé.
It looks like a rosé. It's a clear. Like wine. It's clear. It yeah, it smells like wine. Mm-hmm. It does. It smells like a.
Smells like wine with beer yeast.
Smells like wine. Yeah. Smells like yeasty wine.
Yeah.
Which makes me excited.
I'm gonna try
I didn't put too much on. I didn't go too far into what all they say about this because I think. We could talk about this kind of style of beer for a while, but it's 4.4% ABV. They don't list the IBUs anywhere.
So. I'm going to get y'all's opinion, but I don't like it.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't had this before.
I haven't either.
It
this
tastes,
I grabbed because it seemed interesting.
It tastes like, kind of like a White Claw.
Oh my God.
It tastes like a seltzer.
It does taste like a seltzer.
Shannon, what are your thoughts though? Maybe we should be asking Shannon her thoughts first.
Okay, it started off like, you know, because I'd seen the can and I was expecting one flavor and I think I was gearing up for that particular flavor of, you know, grape. And it just disappeared. in the blink of an eye, or the, you know, with all the bubbles, I was like, oh, I think I'm getting some. Nope. There's nothing there now. Like, it's not bad, but I expected it to have more of
and
a detectable flavor.
Yeah. It definitely, and they do advertise that it is their under 100 calorie or their 100 calorie option.
And that's the thing too with like beers, that it says it'll have something in it, but sometimes when it says it has, it's more like a subtlety, like a subtle flavor, and so like picking up traces. So like,
I definitely get the rosé elements,
especially
there.
On the head.
Yeah. And I can taste the brewer's yeast.
But then it almost instantly just goes like soda water.
It's just like the way it's mixed.
I don't love the mouthfeel of it. I think I liked the mouthfeel of seltzers better.
It's got a weird like overly carbonated.
Yeah.
What is flat, the head of like water, like beer, and go water. Over mouthfeel. I think I kind of know what mouthfeel is, but
head is. So I haven't been pouring super heady beers, but when you see that foam at the top of a beer when it's poured hard, that's what head is. And so sometimes you can talk about beers that have good head retention tend to be considered better beers. It doesn't always mean anything necessarily, especially dependent upon style, but. You do want a beer that if you do pour it pretty hard and get some head, you want to see that head stick around a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not the way that most restaurants serve beer, because they want to get it out to you fast, and no one wants to drink a bunch of foam. But if you're at home and you're like watching a baseball game or something, and you've got the time, pour hard, get all that CO2 out, it'll make it a little bit less filling.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, head just kind of tells you a few things about the style of the beer a little bit, so... A real rocky, if you look down at the bubbles on head, real rocky head with uneven bubbles tends to mean that it was made in a smaller batch, whereas a lot of your mass-produced macro lagers are going to have real evenly distributed bubbles.
Okay.
Yeah. There's also, like, in terms of the flavor profile, the head, the body, and the tail.
Yes. And the mouthfeel is how...
How it feels in your mouth,
when you are tasting beer, sorry, I didn't get into this. The first sip that you can take, like, kind of a small first sip, but I wouldn't talk about like what it necessarily tastes like until after I've like let it sit in my mouth and just feel like. So this is how like this beer, you put it in your mouth and
you hold it.
Feel all the bubbles go away.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, when I let it sit in there that time, I got a lot more of the grape.
Yeah.
But it still tastes seltzery.
Yeah, I don't like that. It's like devoid of flavor.
Yeah, I don't love that beer. I was excited for us to try it. I thought it might be an interesting one.
Nope.
Especially because she likes wine.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss. If we don't know what we had last night.
Well, Shannon, for you, what do you think? Swing and a miss? Or are you just, it's fine?
I don't dislike it, but I wouldn't go out of my way to purchase it. Like, of the two that we've selected so far, I do prefer the first sour.
Berliner Weiss,
Berliner Weiss.
Yeah, so this next one, Carter.
Completely kinda, different.
Carter kind of picked this one out because we wanted to do a couple more. Beery beers.
Mm-hmm. But this one is going to taste not as beery and more, not necessarily winey, but more like less beery, I'll say.
Okay.
So this one's got a good amount of head here.
Yeah.
So you can see that.
Yeah.
Uneven so this bubbles.
Celis's Grand Cru.
This is Celis Grand Cru. So I think there's some misconceptions about Grand Cru in general. It means something in wine. It doesn't mean anything in beer.
Yeah.
Wine, there's actually a style called Grand Cru.
Mm-hmm.
In beer, it kind of means it's their flagship isn't the right. Yeah. It's considered like the brewer masterwork, if that makes sense. Or like it marks an occasion.
Yeah.
So like this is going to be different from the St. Arnold Grand Cru we have, the 25th anniversary Grand Cru.
This one's a Belgian.
This is a Belgian triple. Triple. The actual... Stylus. So this is from Celis Brewery here in Austin, Texas.
My favorite. Shout out.
Yeah. Carter loves Celis.
Anyone else who's like that, but just me.
It's a Belgian triple. It's 8.6% ABV. They did not list the IBUs.
Yeah. It's not, from what I recall, also had this at the brewery. It was not super bitter.
Not super bitter at all.
It's going to have a very distinct and bold flavor.
Yeah.
It's
got a
smooth.
Really interesting smell.
Yeah.
That's that Belgian
yeast. That's the Belgian yeast in there.
There's it's a very so
it's got it's a like, beautiful golden, like looks like liquid gold.
Yeah.
Color.
I love the color on this beer. Very filtered, you can see
very filtered, and you see right through it. I love the nose. It's
actually what I want. There are two things I want them to can. I like their Grand Cru. I want them to can their Maximus Hazy IPA.
Oh.
And their
the
Pilsner.
The Hazy and the Pilsner are both good.
I know they don't want to compete.
They
with...
do the Juicy IPA. Are they doing Juicy?
Sorry, Juicy, not Hazy.
Yeah,
but it's they're similar.
They have two IPAs now, though.
They have the regular. Oh, they have their Juicy IPA that is on tap. Sorry. Yeah. Maximus is their Hazy.
Is the Hazy?
Is the Hazy
and then the Juicy?
IPA,
yeah,
which is so good.
Also very good. Either way, let's drink this one.
Yeah, let's.
And then let's hear Shannon's thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah,
especially Shannon, since this is a very different like mm-hmm. beer than what you yeah. picked.
So go ahead, let that kind of sit, and then if you want to take another sip before you talk, you can, Shannon.
I might take another.
Yeah,
one.
This is pretty good, pretty consistent with when we had it at the tap room.
Literally, that's what I said. Wait, let her say your thoughts.
She doesn't know what it tasted like.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about the flavor.
Pretty consistent with.
I mean, yeah, it's good.
We're talking draft versus can here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's got like a spiced element to it that I actually don't dislike.
Kind of a clove taste almost?
Yeah, because the first sip I was like, we're back to the beer that I don't like. And then I took another sip and I kind of let it sit. And it has a pleasant mouthfeel.
Yeah.
And it's not bitter in the way that is completely bad. I suppose there's a complexity to it. And I think it's that spiced clove nature. Because when it finishes, I'm like, it's not overpowering me. Like, it's definitely, it would be a stretch beer for me.
Yeah.
I think if I consistently went out of my way to find or to appreciate, like, Sella's beer or this specific kind of beer.
Yeah,
that
Belgian triples.
I could definitely expand to really
cultivating
a like of this beer. But yeah, the spice notes are what really got me. And there's almost like a, I don't know if I'm imagining it, but like a citrusy element, slight, like clove and citrus kind of do. I know they generally go together, but it's weird, but it's not bad. That's the thing.
It's got kind of a honey sweetness that I notice.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the honey note. I definitely can taste the booze in this one.
There's no good this one that. Certainly tastes stronger.
Yes, it's not our strong, it's not our highest ABV of the night, but it is our second highest. Mm-hmm. So.
Did you talk about triple styles? I'm sorry if I missed it.
So Belgian triples, I don't know too much about them. I know I like them.
Mm-hmm.
But Belgian's style tends to be divided up into a couple different styles. There's doubles, triples, and quads, which is usually about how long that they are fermented for and how strong of an ale they are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all, I think, technically categorized as Belgian strong ales.
Okay.
But most people break it up into doubles and triples.
Okay.
Celis is working on a quad. I'm very excited.
And what does that mean necessarily? Like they just three strains?
It's just longer, yeah.
Yeah,
it's how long it's aged.
Gotcha.
So, a double is fermented.
The more it ferments, the
more
the stronger
than a regular
it's
Belgian
be.
Beer. A triple is fermented longer than a double.
Yeah.
And then a quad is the longest.
The longest.
Okay. A quad is a very strong beer.
Very strong, very boozy.
Cool. Yeah.
But triples are pretty popular right now.
Yeah, I know I saw you tweet about that.
They're a good winter beer, too.
La Fin du Monde, I almost grabbed it last night. It's a very good beer. It's a big bottle, and it's also kind of expensive. It doesn't come frequently in the smaller bottles.
Yeah.
Oh.
I definitely don't see it in singles ever.
Mm-hmm.
I might see it in, like, a four-pack, but...
Well, so I was reading the can, and so, like... When Shannon picked up on the citrus stuff, like it says there's a subtle fruitiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really pick it up. Also, it's not my type of beer. Like this, like you can, I like that. It definitely has a lot more flavor than that Avery Rocky Mountain.
Yeah.
But
yes, definitely.
But it's not the flavors that I'm looking for. However, it does remind me a lot of fall and winter. Yeah. So very excited for you people.
Yeah, this is a great.
Yeah,
so,
I was gonna say.
Yeah.
This one's a little bit more bitter than I think the taproom one.
Yeah, maybe.
Was.
You had a full pint. You didn't have a pint. You had a taster.
I had a taster.
So I just had a sip or two of yours.
It's a little bit more bitter forward than the pour was that I had, but it's still remarkably consistent.
Yeah. And for a triple, remarkably crisp,
too. Oh, yeah. The thing I loved about this was it was very smooth, first of all.
For sure, 100%.
Not overpowering, but very bold, which is usually what I look for in a beer.
Like, full flavor.
Like, I love a full-bodied beer, not necessarily one that is just, like, super strong or super weird, but one that is a full-bodied complex flavor. And this certainly has that with the spiced and the fruity notes and the multiple levels.
Is definitely a fan of if it's balanced and if the booziness matches the body of it.
Yeah.
You're generally pretty okay.
It's how I am with wines, too. Like, there's some wines that I'm like, if the flavor is bold, then I'm usually a huge fan.
It's pretty fresh.
But if it's boring.
September. The end of September.
Yeah, it's their current season.
Yeah,
so
I was
going to
say, they just can these, so I suspected it would not be that old.
Shannon, a very easy way. And, like this is also really fun, because then, while, like, obviously the guys pick these beers with you in mind, it's also really interesting because it shows you kind of, like, a bit of our taste and stuff.
Yeah.
Because I very much more so like the Berliner Weiss. Like,
oh, I loved the Berliner Weiss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Carter always has some very interesting taste. But
which is
like
the Cellus, okay. And I am not going to say that Robbie is necessarily.
No, not the Rocky Mountain.
No, that was one. I think that was the last one. It was the last. Because we were looking for something and we debated getting another, like, sour that we knew or trying something that neither of us had.
Yeah. I thought so,
always go for new. Yeah.
So we thought we'd try something
new. Even if it's
new.
A mess.
Also, like, the wine element of that was like, oh.
Yeah, it has all of the markings of one we would really enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some things when I was looking into it earlier today that I was like, this might have been a bad choice. Should I call an audible at the end? I was like, nah, we'll just see what it is.
Nah.
I feel like even though you may only end up with 5 beers that you like, or, you know, 4 or 5 beers you like, I would rather that we at least try something and talk about why we don't like it.
Yes, that's always.
It's also fun too.
It's a learning experience.
As you know from Film Fracas, we try to talk about everything about the films, whether we actually like them
or good or bad. Yeah. I think that's good.
All right, let's take a quick break, rinse out some glasses, get some more beers out, and we'll be right back.
All right, letting you guys know, so the other day, it rained really bad in Austin, and our neighbor house, apparently, I wasn't here for this, but everybody else told me, a tree fell over
onto our power line.
And brought a wire down, so, like, the fence became a live fence, electric fence.
Scary.
And Carter went out to talk to the firemen and let them know what he saw. But another fireman...
A large electrical explosion outside the window. A whole bunch of sparks and a lot of, like, weird electrical noises.
But he went to do that, and another fireman actually came up to our door to talk to us and, like, let us know and warn us.
Mm.
And I couldn't stop staring because the fireman looked like a buff Abed from Community.
What?
He was very good looking.
It was Danny Putty. He's just been working out.
He was fit. I was like, nice.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, welcome
that
back to Tap Heads.
Dark.
Shannon, how are you feeling so far?
I'm feeling quite good. I've enjoyed the selection of the last 3 beers, particularly the Berliner Weiss.
Berliner Weiss, yeah.
And I'm excited to see what else we got going. Oh, my.
We're about to get some wacky stuff here.
Yeah,
this is where you said you like stuff that kind of tastes like coffee. Here.
Yes,
I
do.
Shannon, kind of the smallest pour, because she has not necessarily been finishing all of it.
But something that, like, I just want to say, I'm happy you're doing this, Shannon, obviously, because I fucking love you and, like, love talking to you and all these things. But this is just, Robbie's really great about, like, just bringing you new things to try. And, like, with beer, like, it's a whole other thing where it's, like, if you don't know, you think of, like, the stereotypical, like, very big corporate beers, like,
Bud Light.
Lone Star is owned by a very large corporation.
Yeah.
Pabst Brewing Company.
Yeah.
Bud Light, so
like
PBR.
All these things.
Guinness.
Guinness.
And, you know, you'll stay away from them. But, like, there are other things to try. And, you know, like, you like wine. But, like, there are, like you seem
there
to
like the sours.
There are
beers that taste like wine, too.
Yeah.
We tried to find one.
Yeah.
Did not go well. But, no. So, I'm very excited. And, like, this is a fun way. And we'll see where your journey continues from here.
There are beers that are technically wine.
Yeah.
According to the government.
According to national law, yeah.
Or champagne.
Yeah, summer shipment. Yeah,
we talked about that last episode. Or
really,
not.
Ciders. There are ciders
certain,
is more
certain. Yeah, certain regulations that certain ciders are considered wines and champagnes.
Interesting.
Some government regulation.
We're getting technical.
Anyway,
anyway,
this is
it. Really comes down to taxation.
Oh my God, you can't even see through it.
Oh,
this
heck.
Is Blue Owl Brewing out of Austin, Texas. This is
she
Professor
dark.
Black.
Excited.
It is a sour cherry stout.
But it smells like coffee. So it's interesting.
It's going to taste like sour
I'm
coffee.
So excited.
This is the one I'm most excited to try.
So this is a beer I had for the first time this week. It's a fall and winter seasonal, and it's going to become my fall and winter seasonal.
Mm.
I like this beer a lot. 6.1% ABV, 40 IBUs.
I haven't.
Yeah. So this is probably the highest IBU that we've had so far, and probably the highest of the night. But you're going to notice that you're not really going to taste that bitterness.
Interesting.
So, we hold it up to the light and notice that it is pitch black.
Pitch black. It's got the head had a little bit of a red tint, which I think
say.
Comes with the sour cherry.
Yeah, yeah, and you get a little bit of, I mean, a lot of stouts have a little bit of amber like lining. At
yeah,
the,
right.
Where the light can kind of come
yeah.
through.
Because this is a very more like, to me, it's like an extremely dark
looks
brown.
Cola.
Mm-hmm. It does look like cola.
But it has such a huge Ooh. Coffee scent. Carter tried it?
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That smell, we already said coffee. You can get a little bit of dark fruit in the nose.
Yeah. Yep. All
right. Shannon, all right. Whenever you're ready.
Oh.
Toast to you.
Yeah.
It keeps going.
Yep.
Oh, no.
I just saw the eyes widen. I just saw them widen more.
Try it again.
She's like doing full kombucha girl.
Yeah.
Which, she's from Texas.
Yeah.
She is. She goes to A&M. It's a shame she's an Aggie.
I like it.
Yay!
Yay! I
it's,
fucking love
it's
this.
It's like, wow.
Same.
It's, it, honestly, like, okay, I get the coffee, I get, like, the, more of a plum, honestly. I know it's cherry, but for some reason my mind's going to,
there's
like,
a lot of dark
different
fruit
stone fruits. And then it tastes like, I don't know.
Like,
grilled meat comes to mind. Like it, I
no, that's
very like.
The thing that throws me the most
chewy.
Is the aftertaste tastes like chocolate covered cherries.
Yes,
that's
dope.
The aftertaste tastes like dark chocolate covered
it
cherries.
Sure is.
Yeah,
it's
oh man,
wild.
Oh.
If you melted down Dove chocolate and mixed it with a beer, like you.
Oh yeah,
It's so good.
I love this.
Beer. I was very hesitant with the sour stout because I was like. How's that even gonna work? Is
honestly,
it gonna taste like sour coffee?
That's
how's
exactly. No. I thought it was gonna be. I thought it was gonna be like cheap black
how's
coffee.
This, how's this gonna taste? But wow,
it's incredibly crushable, which is weird.
Yes, it's very drinkable.
Which I was wondering with you because it doesn't have a typical stout body to it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a body much more similar to a lot of other
it
blue owl
like
beers.
It tastes like a sour, but it also has the coffee note.
I love it, and I like. Your reaction and like Shannon's like literally eyes like that's how it felt when I drank it was like you get the sour.
This is how it feels when you chew 5 gum.
Yeah, well, it felt like a ride. Like I felt like I was going down a water slide and I was getting all these like I was like okay here's the sourness and I'm like oh the coffee's there and it's not like it's because like some beers when they say like the Rocky Mount feels like you had like two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
This just it's like a nice wrapping.
It's
like
I was gonna
smooth,
say
like,
it's melded together. So exceptionally well,
mm-hmm.
which I mean, I would expect nothing less from Blue Owl.
They do make
the,
fantastic beers.
What was the Earl Grey one?
Cool in the Gang.
Cool in the Gang.
Their collab with Lazarus Brewing.
So good. So good. Because you get the Earl Grey notes in that one. You get all kinds of stuff. And this one.
This I
is
love
so
that description.
Good.
Yeah.
So
like
I had
said.
This for the first time Tuesday or Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And I drink this. I drink a whole can of it, I guess, out of a glass. But. Alarmingly fast.
Yeah.
It's deceptively like crushable.
It's so smooth.
I could drink
it doesn't linger.
I could drink a 6-pack of this and not realize it, which is dangerous.
It also doesn't taste boozy.
No. And it's only 6.1, which is not
I mean it's more than your average, but
it's no different than a lot of IPAs.
That's true.
You know, this is very similar to a lot of other craft beers.
Yeah.
This is very middle of the road for a craft.
But oh my
especially
God.
Considering
this
what
did not.
We're gonna get to
yeah, this did not let me down.
I
great.
Think the one thing if
are you
I
able to
get
do the nitro pour,
but
this?
I don't know.
Or is that one nitro?
This is
the one
nitro.
Thing is that I
okay.
wish it had a little bit of like the stout body, just a
yeah.
Tad,
I wish it had a little
like
more body
about stouts, but it's like, it gets
to
so
call
good.
It a true stout.
Yeah, like
it
it's
actually
so
is
good.
More of a porter body, which I've noticed is that it is a slightly lighter body,
mm-hmm.
but
it's delicious either way. But I just like. this makes me want that stout body.
Yeah. I think what you're trying to go for here, at least if you're Blue Owl, is to give note. Yeah. Like, your note tastes more than you are trying to give, like, a style, because it really should just be its own, like, style of its, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of Blue Owl beers end up being like that, where it's just, mm-hmm. yeah, we call, you know, Spirit Animal is technically a sour pale ale, but it's not really a pale ale.
Can't wait to go to their tap room.
Yeah.
One day.
We love the
Wish
guys.
It wasn't kind of far.
It's not too far. It's just inconvenient.
Apparently. Yeah, it's inconvenient to get to.
Yeah, Live Oak is the furthest. Live Oak is the furthest.
But somehow one of the easiest to get to. Jester King's the furthest. But Live Oak is the second furthest and somehow the easiest to get to.
They've got a great parking lot.
They do. It's also just out in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
Are we doing
fun
that next?
Fact.
Yes.
Okay.
This is our highest ABV.
Oh, yeah.
It's bourbon barrel aged.
Fun fact That's about true. Jester King.
Yes.
In our softball league, though we haven't been playing, I'm checking in the beer. I need to tag the app.
What is the app?
Untapped.
Untapped.
Yep.
So you
log all your beers.
I think it's literally Vivino? From the makers of Foursquare, if you remember Foursquare.
Yeah.
Sure.
I would need to go back and do all of the episodes.
Yeah, no, I don't do that.
I'm having so much problems opening this.
But anyways, Jester King, they play softball with our in the softball league. Shout out to Bernie. Yeah. He's great. And they typically, most games, will bring a whole keg of beer. very Jester King style when they show up to play. So, shout out to them. They're really cool.
You need to pour that over the sink.
Yeah, I might need to go pour this over the sink. Keep talking.
Yeah. Shannon's checking out Untappd right now. Like Carter said, I also haven't, Untappd or checked in a lot of the beers from the episodes, and I'm not gonna go back and do that. I'm just gonna do it for the first time again and hope I remember I tried them before, because it's a lot of beers.
Yeah.
So basically, Shannon, on the app, you can check in beers, and it helps you to keep track of what you've tried and see if there's a difference between it being on draft or in a can or a bottle, or if maybe you're out somewhere and you're like, do I want to try this beer? Have I had it before? You can go back and look at your history, or you can see what people think. And sometimes you can leave notes. I find it very helpful. And that's
why. It's like Letterboxd, but for me.
If there's one thing that I like, it's a good tracking app for things that I like.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty dope. And you can see what other people. What people think.
Yeah, social networking over common things that is like wine or beer locations. Or movies or books also very good.
Whoa.
Just like Letterboxd, there's Twitter accounts for bad reviews.
All right, I didn't know this, but I'm on the Discover page of the app.
Yeah.
And then when you go below the beers, location, stuff like that, there's literally a section that says, need a ride? And if you put find now, it'll call you an Uber.
Yeah.
That's so cool. It's just please drink responsibly. Shout out to them. That's very cool.
Very woke.
All right.
Consider
this next beer. All right. I just poured it. Sorry. I was a giant growler. Very full growler.
It has a very lovely tint.
You know what this is, right?
No, I haven't.
This is 512 Brewing's Pecan Porter.
Pecan Porter. Mm. Very good.
It's
very consistent.
It's a local favorite for sure. I have this from a growler because 512 does not do any kind of bottling, canning, anything like that. So I did have to go.
But I saw you tweet about it. Aren't they canning it? Are they going to start canning it soon or selling it?
No.
What was that thing?
What was I tweeting about?
I thought it was you. Somebody's
I didn't see anything about that.
Ooh, let me look it up. You talk about the beer.
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard anything, but I've also been very busy. So I've been away from Twitter a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a porter, which is another kind of dark beer, as you can tell.
Also going to taste like coffee.
Yes. This is 6.8% ABV, 30 IBUs.
Yep.
You can find this one at a lot of different bars mm-hmm. here in town.
And the Draft House.
The Draft House always has it. Emerald Tavern always has it on tap.
Yep.
Thanks to a friend of the show, Caroline,
who makes
sure they always have it on tap.
Yes.
Always have fresh cans of it.
Thank you, Caroline.
Beer.
It's very good.
This is one of my favorites right now, especially. Mm-hmm. It is
good fall beer. As with any stout or porter.
Yeah, it is my fall winter beer of
choice. Good fall winter beer.
And I love it because it is brewed year round and I can drink it, into February, March. It is always nice to go from April to August and then come back to it late September and you're like, "Hello, old friend."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So the tweet that I was talking about,
yes.
See this guy, Andrew Schwab, tweeted, okay. After 11 years of making beer, it looks like 512 is finally putting one of their mainstays in something other than a keg. It appears that's going to come out in 12-ounce bottles. And so, like, there's a label for it.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. I thought you were the one who retweeted this, but I did.
That makes me so excited.
Yeah, no, it's Wendy. Such a huge hit. Like, this beer, like, legit is
512 so makes some great beers. Their Juicy IPA is fantastic. Their IPA is fantastic. Their wit beer was one of the first ones to come back into Austin after Celis folded the first time. Mm-hmm. So they kind of filled that
rest
void.
Rest in peace, Celis.
They're alive again.
I know.
But rest in peace.
The first time.
Rest in peace, Pierre Celis.
Yes.
That was kind of what happened, was he died and then Miller took over and then they ran it into the ground.
Yikes.
Maybe because it competed directly with Blue Moon.
Yeah, I had a lovely conversation with the guy at the tap room and he was quite excited that they were under new management.
Yes. They're now under new management after kind of a shaky start.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Beer has so much politics attached to it. Let's not do that. Let's drink some.
Yeah. This one smells very coffee-y.
This one is a little bit lighter, a little more brown color to it than the last one.
I want to hear Shannon's thoughts because I already have my own. Yeah.
Yeah, we've all had this one before.
Yeah. I want to. Shannon, what you think? If you need to, give it another sip. Smell notes? Did anyone have any smell notes?
Coffee.
Yeah, it's got a very coffee. Got a very kind of...
Very... Typical dark malt.
Typical dark malt. I don't know that there's anything in it that really stands out to me.
You get some of that nuttiness.
And yeah, it's nutty. A little spiced, but...
This one is not my favorite.
Really?
I think it just... I'm getting... I don't know. It... I took a second sip and was really trying to analyze mouthfeel, and I don't particularly like it. It feels a little more burnt.
Yeah.
For some reason, or maybe it's very earthy, and I'm...
It is kind of earthy.
It is very
Mine tastes kind of watery.
Yeah, I'm...
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not...
Where I got this growler filled, because I think there is, I think there may have been some water at the bottom of it that did not
get... Yeah.
Yeah.
Properly dried out.
Because mine tastes kind of watery.
Yeah.
It tastes fine.
But it tastes good for the...
But I typically, when I have it on, like... draft or something. Mm-hmm. It's pretty delicious.
Yeah.
But this is very much more towards that, like the beery. This is starting to go back to the beer thing.
Yeah.
It's like it's very chewy. That's how I also kind of think of it. Which also, once again, is not like a bad quality to a dark beer or wine or anything that's, you know.
Shannon Weiner. Wordsmith.
But I would.
Yeah,
this is not the very drinkable. I've had of it though.
I definitely go back to that sour cherry stout.
Nothing
wrong with it.
I'd be terrified to try
some stouts. Will have like typically the two characters I think of when I think of a stout is either chocolate or coffee, and this one's going towards that coffee, and I feel like that stout had a bit like more of that chocolate taste.
I think it did, because even thinking about my own coffee preferences, like I know some people who drink it black. I don't really drink mine black. Yeah, I think that might be the black coffee. It's very like beany might be the word I'm looking for. Yes. It's very beany, very earthy.
Well, the next one might be better then.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the rest of us who like this, we have 64 ounces of this to drink quickly, because it's in a growler.
Nice. So. But
have fun with that.
I'd be curious if we tried it at a different place. You know, I feel like this is a fine, but like also like, you know, you're trying new beers, you know, some are going to be some hits, some are going to be some misses. But this is
and we'll do a full ranking.
Yeah.
At the end. And that, as we always do.
Yeah.
So be keeping in mind your ranking.
Yes. Carter is currently.
I keep the cans in an order. That's how I remember my ranking.
Do you want to put the growler in your lineup?
I can.
Go for it.
But then I'm not going to be able to see Robbie.
And now we can see where Carter ranks this one. We're getting into our
last beer
of the evening.
Make sure you're drinking water, too.
Yeah. Well, duh,
I poured that one very high. Carter, you can keep that one.
I'll keep this one.
Wow, I haven't checked the comp.
Yummy, yummy.
I won't check in this one.
Have you had a full pint of it ever, though, Wendy?
I don't think so.
I think you just had sips of mine in Carolina.
But it's always been
I've had
very
one
delicious.
At the draft house.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. That stout head. Excuse me.
I feel like you might like this one more.
I think I'm going to run out of this.
If the first one tastes like... Here, you want some of mine?
Go for it.
Here, let me let the head settle. I was like, what am I looking for on my phone?
To get the rest of it. Where's my drink? This is from New Holland Brewing out of Holland, Michigan. This is Dragon's Milk Bourbon Barrel Aged Stout. It's 11% alcohol by volume, 30 IBUs.
Definitely getting a lot of that bourbon smell.
Yeah.
Which is pleasant. Very pleasant.
It's a milk stout, so it's going to taste a little creamier.
Is it a milk stout, technically?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ooh.
So it's going to taste a little creamier, so it's not going to be quite as harsh black coffee tasting.
Yeah.
I do like that.
You're going to get some bourbon notes.
I'm very excited.
I love the dragon's note. The dragon's milk. It's very good.
What dragon's smell like?
I got a ton of head on this one.
Coffee.
You want to hear something weird?
So.
What?
So when I first got this beer, we were doing the Game of Thrones like watch party that final season at work. And so I went to HEB to pick up some beer. And I saw it and I was like, ooh, hell yeah, dragons. I'm going to pick it up. But every time I see dragon's milk, I think of like, where are they milked from? Like, do they have udders?
Their nipples?
And I'm just
I
like,
have nipples.
I just
can you milk me?
Very protruding nipples. I'm like, and like to like, when you like do the udders, milking a cow.
I don't know. Ask Donkey from Shrek.
I'm thinking of...
He probably milked a dragon.
What are the creatures in The Last Jedi that...
The Thalassirens?
Yeah. That just like the green...
The green milk? Yeah, the Thalassirens.
Yeah. Nerd.
That's pretty much dragon milk.
That's pretty dragon milk.
Can we take this second? I'm so sorry to interrupt the show, but like to call Carter a nerd.
No.
Aww. Carter, I'm sorry. You're a nerd.
Nice! Nerd!
So this is pretty dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as dark as the Professor Black.
I was gonna say Professor Black is easily the darkest.
It is darker than
that.
The
was like a
border.
Pitch black beer. That was kind of scary when
but
you poured that.
Oh, she looks like cola.
Yeah. If it had been thicker,
I'm excited.
What are you smelling?
It would have been so. It would have been like a Twin Peaks when he pours the thick coffee out.
I love bourbon stouts and stuff, or like just those hits.
Bourbon barrel aged stouts. They had a moment, and they're still very popular. But yes,
I'm curious to get your thoughts on this one, Shannon.
All right, drink it up. When you
I've never actually had this one.
So. Oh, you haven't?
Yeah.
That's good.
So talk us through while Shannon...
I like it because it's a little bit milder in terms of, as far as stouts go, because I'm not a huge coffee person. I actually really love the Professor Black, which has more coffee flavor than I was expecting, but I think it melds with the chocolate notes really well.
Yeah.
But this one's a little bit milder, a little bit more creamy. It's got some of the bourbon notes, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. This definitely, like, and because it's the bourbon, like, you don't get the bitterness of coffee.
Exactly.
So.
All right. Shannon?
Yeah, I do like it. I do like it. I definitely appreciate the creaminess.
Yes.
So not a lot picked out.
And it's, especially after
50%
having tasted the pecan porter, this was a nice kind of mellowing out of the flavors. I do see, Carter, where you're coming from with the melding of like the chocolate and the bourbon that is quite nice. It's still like there's an edge to it that I think I would have to get around to.
This one's also very boozy.
Yes. Yes. So
I can very much taste the booze in this one. It's
not
overpowering.
It's not 11% boozy.
It doesn't taste as boozy as it is.
This tastes, I would say this tastes more like a 9% beer.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the bourbon aftertaste is very nice.
Yeah, that's what I think that's where you get the booze taste from is the bourbon.
Yeah, definitely has that bourbon kind of burn to it.
Are you a whiskey owl? I do like
whiskey. Mm-hmm. Quite enjoy whiskey.
Yeah.
Do
that's my first time having this. It's pretty good. I can see why it's popular.
Mm-hmm.
It is closer to something like Left Hand Milk Stout or something like that than it is to a Bourbon County Stout from Goose Island, which is kind of the granddaddy of bourbon barrel-aged stouts, which is particularly boozy and has much more of a barrel character to it.
Two questions for you.
Yes.
ABV on this?
11%.
And second question, because when I bought it, I bought it in a 4-pack. Mm-hmm. Obviously, probably because of that 11%.
Yes.
Price scale wise, where do you think it compares to other stouts? And like, do you think that's valid? Or like, I don't know, how do you feel?
What do you mean?
I don't know
how much it costs for a 4-pack.
I think it's $15.
On about like a 4-pack of that would be equivalent to a 6-pack of another.
Yeah.
It's just because it's extra boozy.
It's an expensive. Boozier beers are more expensive to make, so that's why they sell them in 4-packs.
Mm-hmm. So just like anything,
they can still sell them for about $10 for a 4-pack,
Anything with a higher AB, or like a higher ABV is going to be more.
Because no one's going to go buy a six pack for $15 or whatever.
Yeah.
But you can justify, you know, a four pack for the same price as a six pack.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious. So I remember I was like, this is the price of your beer.
I am feeling it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Carter. Your cheeks are rosy.
I'm starting to sweat.
This definitely, I'm kind of swirling it around my glass. It does some great lacing.
We were talking about drinking more after we finished recording.
Nice. We're going to play Jackbox 6. That's out now. Not paid to promote, but.
So much
it's
fun.
Got, yeah, I like that.
I like
you seem,
it.
You seem kind of mixed on it.
Well, because like he's had so many other stouts, and I feel like it's good. I think it's definitely good, but it's not like a top. Like we've had so many, and like
oh yeah,
this is just like
no. I mean, there were definitely some on my mix six. That
yeah,
I like
I'm
more,
thinking
but...
about it as opposed to other stouts.
Like I probably like the left hand. I probably like the left hand
the Grand
more.
Yeah,
than...
I'm wondering if I should have grabbed
the Rasputin. I mean, the Rasputin is not a milk stout.
Old Rasputin is not a milk stout, but it's a imperial. It's so good.
It is good.
So good.
Yeah, there's.
But it, we would.
I mean,
want to scare
I know where
her.
About where it falls in my ranking. Mm. So.
Yeah.
Would I pick it up again? I probably wouldn't buy a four pack. I might put it in another mix six.
Yeah.
And I will definitely never turn one down.
It's also
if offers it. To
it's
me.
Also pretty drinkable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think it's like Carter said. It's a more milder.
Mm-hmm. Which is why I like it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like the ones that either like very coffee or very chocolate.
Yeah, when we're talking
very strong.
Yeah,
Wendy is a woman of extremes.
Extremes!
If I'm going for a bourbon barrel aged stout, I maybe want something a little more extreme.
Yeah.
When are we having the St. Arnold's Grand Cru? Or
when are we doing that again?
Yeah. When's your next one? I forgot.
Six months from the last one.
6 months from the last one. So.
Which so probably another. I think it was January.
No, it's. I haven't planned to January yet. But thank you.
December. I knew it was
Grand
later.
Grand Cru Part 2 is planned to go out on December 12th.
Yeah.
That was so December. Good. That beer so good.
I'm
That's
so
right.
excited to have it again. And we've got
but
a total of four of those to try. So
yep. I'm glad you like this. I'm like I'm wondering if we got you like a very chocolate one.
I'd be curious to see if you'd like the Temptress also.
Ooh,
yeah,
Temptress
we could open up a Temptress.
But I'm like...
I'd rather open up... The other one we were talking about.
I feel like but, if you were to go in a very beer direction with this one, I think of the Santo. Like
yeah,
the Santo you'd probably like.
Yeah, but then if you're wanting to go like the chocolate coffee profile, there's like the Ethan
one. They're chocolate. They're like chocolate
Santo's
stouts.
Santo's hard to find in Austin, though. It's very Houston.
I know.
There are a lot of chocolate stouts, too, if you
Brock
like.
Wagner.
If,
I
do if, you like the, if you like the chocolate notes more than the coffee notes, there are a lot of good, like... Yeah. Chocolate stouts. That I tend to lean more towards chocolate stouts
but
than coffee stouts.
The more you drink these, the more you get used to these things, and you'll find that, like, you
know what you like and
I'm
be able to confidently speak to that.
I think left hand milk stout has its place, but also it's kind of a boring beer to talk about. It's very, it's very what got you into craft beer.
Yeah. So, all right. Well,
It's time to do the rankings. We'll go to everyone else first, and then Shannon.
Then Shannon.
Yeah.
So, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. So mine's pretty easy. Do we 6-1, right?
Yes,
Okay. 6-1. My number six, no surprise, the Rocky Mountain Rosé is, I'm going to say it, bad. it tastes like a seltzer,
literally,
not like a beer.
Robbie, both of our notes on Untappd was like, seltzer.
So, yeah, I'm going to say cool can, but bad beer. Then my number five, actually, that's the only one I disliked. I liked all the other ones. Number five is going to be the Pecan Porter. I don't know if I've had it before, and I don't know if it's just this particular growler of it. But like I said, this one tastes kind of watery to me.
It's very popular.
And yeah, it is very popular.
It is popular for a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just amazing.
It's very drinkable. Very kind of basic almost. I mean, there's not that much to the flavor profile.
Give it another chance.
But I do like it, and it is very consistent.
It said thank you.
I'll give you a real fresh pour if we ever go to the tavern together.
Yeah.
My number four
I'm looking forward to it.
The Berliner Weisse. I love pretty much everything Live Oak puts out. I don't think I've ever had a beer of theirs that I don't like. The Berliner Weisse is no exception. It's very good. It's a very, very strong Berliner Weisse. And like I said, at their tap room, I had it with their flavored syrup. So you
Which
get
one
kind
did
of
you
a,
do?
I did the Elderflower, right? I don't remember.
Like
I don't remember what they had. No, it was the Woodruff, right?
Yeah.
Or wood something like, it was some weird thing. I was like, I don't know what this is, but he was like, this is the one we usually pair it with that people like the most. And I was like, cool, do that. So we did that, and it was good. And I've had other Berliner Weisses that are also very good. Yeah. I mean, the Einhorn.
I think it is, yes.
Einhorns are very good, and this one is just a very, very strong Berliner Weiss, which is just like everything Live Oak does. Yes. It's a very just strong version of whatever their beer is.
Yes.
Did we ever do the Grodzicki on here?
Yeah, Zessen brought it on his
episode. Right, on his episode. It's good.
Yes.
That's kind of maybe their most unique beer, I think.
Yeah.
Other than their some of their taproom exclusives.
They
the Grodzicki is really good.
They bring
and no one else does a Grodzicki, so.
Yeah. Live Oak does style.
You said that and I got chills because I fucking love that beer when we had it.
It just tastes like sausage.
It's not my favorite, but
I like it. I like it because it's weird. It tastes like a smoke. This beer smells and tastes exactly like a smoked sausage.
It was smoked sausage is delicious. So
Live Oak, great overall. It's that beer was so good.
Kind of wild because you're like, it's a beer and it tastes like a smoked sausage. What?
ABW, their thing is bold, crisp, and clean. And I think Live Oak is like back to basics, but do it at such a level
that you can't deny how good it is. High quality basics, yeah.
They got the bronze medal at GABF this year out of all wheat beers for their Hefeweizen, which means that's including every world-class wheat beer and Berliner, like anything that was entered into that wheat beer category.
What got number one?
I don't know. I didn't look into it. But I did a whole bunch of retweeting, like all the Texas brewers that got medals at GABF.
But I love Live Oak, and we should go back to the taproom.
We should do a Live Oak episode soon.
Probably.
We should.
I love Live Oak.
I want to go to the brewery so bad. Yeah.
Then
we got some stuff to talk about after this.
Anyway, number three, Dragon's Milk. Like I said, I really like it because it's a little more mild, a little creamier. A little more digestible. I love the bourbon notes. I love bourbon in anything because I love bourbon. Not an alcoholic, though, I swear. If mom's listening, I'm not an alcoholic.
Who's mom's listening to this? My mom won't listen to it.
Hi, Lee.
I doubt my mom. My mom doesn't listen to the other one that I'm on, so much less this one.
I like this one a lot.
Then my number two is the Cellas Grand Cru. I actually love this. I was in love with it when I chose the tap room. Like I said, it's remarkably consistent to this one.
Carter sold out to Cellas after episode one.
I did. The wit beer is still one of my favorite beers. Though, actually, the Hefeweizen I've been drinking more of, and...
Live Oak Hefeweizen?
Live Oak Hefeweizen is probably my beer of the summer, I'm just going to say.
Yeah?
Because it's almost easier than the wit beer, even though the wit beer is also extremely light.
My beer of the summer was Cool in the Gang from Blue Owl.
Cool in the Gang was also very good.
But also, the same way that you're a shill for Cellas, I'm a shill for Lazarus. So.
That's true.
Shout out to Jordan Kreider.
She's great. I love Jordan. I'd die for her.
Yes.
My number one, no surprise, I kind of had an out-of-body experience trying it, but the Blue Owl Professor Black Sour Cherry Stout, my God, I haven't had a beer as complex, as multi-layered, as unique... as this beer in a long time. And it just amazed me, honestly. I was astounded and kind of speechless. So, yeah.
Yeah. Wendy?
What's up? Wendy with a W here. It's
kind of a long explanation.
I know. You're good. You guys gave a shout out. I want to give a shout out. I love you, Aaron Chamberlain. Shout out. That's fam. Happy birthday. Happy 40th birthday. I have to tell everybody he's 40.
You're not going
to
wish your brother?
I'm getting there.
This will come out in a week, though. So
well, happy belated 40th birthday to Aaron. If you see him, he's 40. He's great.
Birthday,
he's
Aaron.
Also riding every bike in Austin, but I like to talk to him about beer because he writes for he's co-founder of the Beer Guide. Also,
oh, is that the guy who was tweeting about?
Yeah, they put
a Twitter
his tweet.
Interaction.
Yeah, so I quoted it on Twitter and asked Tapheads. I was like, "What do you think
you
about this?"
You got Tapheads into politics, and I didn't like it.
I was curious. I mean, we talk about that a lot, and it's. I need to tell you my ranking, but it's very interesting. The more you learn, and just in general, like the politics of life and everything.
Have you told him about the show?
I did. I told him.
Has he listened?
I don't know. He does other things, so.
Does he want to come on the show?
That'd be really funny to have a 40-year-old man and a 20-year-old.
But also
but
a real beer drinker.
Yeah, no. I'd be curious. I did joke with him. I was like, yes, we're like every other white man in Austin on a podcast.
Anyway, sorry, you're number six. Oh, sorry. Shout out to Tito.
Oh, yes. Yes, thank you.
My God, Wendy, happy it's only your brother.
Belated birthday.
Happy birthday, Tito.
Belated birthday. He's also 22.
Birthday.
22. Oh, 44. I'm kidding. No,
it's his Taylor Swift birthday.
Oh, she's done that. I love him so much.
I know about you.
Tito's great. Tito, I like him more than Wendy.
I do, too.
Anyway.
I'm just kidding. Wendy is great.
Shout out, or are you going to get into your ranking?
Real quick, I love Tito so much. He's really great. We're very similar, obviously, because we grew up together. We were very close, but he's much more chill than I am and not as emotional. So go him. Wish him a very happy birthday. Love him. Anyways, back to the beer and important stuff. My number six ranking, of course, was the Rocky Mountain Rosé. It's literally the
bad.
I drink it and I keep thinking it every time. It's almost flat sparkling water. Like,
it's better than a White Claw, though.
Little. I
but
don't know.
Not better than the Mighty Swell.
Well, correct. Mighty Swell is garbage.
No, Mighty Swell is good.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That
no.
Was the one that actually had sugar in it.
What was the one that we didn't like?
Wild Basin.
Wild Basin. Bad.
That was bad. Yeah, no, this is like, I literally drank it and thought of like when I leave like a sparkling water in my car, you know, and it has like flavor. And I'm like, so sorry. My number five, and I'm trying to figure out where to put it. I think this growler pecan porter was just not great. It was fine. And, like, it was hard. Like, it's the pecan porter's good. It's way better than the Rocky Mountain. I don't it looks like I wrote Robin on my phone. But, I mean, it was fine. But definitely Red please Robin? Try it. What?
Red Robin?
No. Not even Robin with a Y. But if you're at a bar, yeah. If you're at a tap room, if you're at a cool game shop called the Emerald Tavern.
Red Rock.
And I love that we're going to keep shouting them out because they're great. And I love them
go
so
Emerald
much.
Tavern.
My happy place in the world.
Play some games.
They've got a pretty good tap wall for...
Yeah, and they're going to do seasonal.
They do have a very impressive tap wall now.
But the pecan porter today was just a hit. Or miss. Sorry. It was a miss.
It was just a miss. Hit.
I am glad I have this growler now that I can fill up anytime I want.
It's a nice growler.
Comes from an Etsy store.
Oh.
I noticed.
I was going to say... I was curious where you got the...
The place that I actually, I bought it at the place where I also filled it up, and they may have just changed tap lines, so we may have gotten the last of, like,
I don't know. Or if they were cleaning it and they had water going through it.
Maybe, I don't know.
Then they just had some residual water in it.
Yeah,
or it could have been
either way, it tastes kind of watery.
Dusty
but
growler that he pulled out of a box.
Maybe,
you know,
yeah, I don't know.
They're going to hopefully start bottling these, and then we won't have to worry
any
about
number of extenuating circumstances.
Yes. My number three, no,
until
four.
Until then, I'll just keep drinking it. Directly in pints.
My numero cuatro. Wow, I deleted something on my
phone. Into my veins.
My number four is the triple.
The Grand Cru.
Grand Cru. You know, it's got a very robust flavor, but it is not Wendy's flavor. You know, it's. I think it's. You can tell it's a good beer, but it's not the flavor that I like to drink. So
yeah.
It's just not my chops. But it's very delicious either way. And then today I have ranked the Dragon's Milk number three. Delicious, not the stouts that I typically go for though, but it's very good. It's just that I'm so excited about the other two that that's why it's my number three.
They're so good.
My number two was the Live Oak Berliner Weiss. So delicious, and Carter loves wheat beers a lot more than I do. But
Berliner Weisses are wheat beers, but they
you taste
wheat
it.
They're more, they're more sour. Than
exactly,
wheat
and
beer.
I love the sourness of it. So good.
I love
it's
any
so
beer
light.
That tastes like bread.
This tastes like sourdough.
I know. I love it.
Yeah. Like, you could smell it. You could taste it. But it was very delicious. And then my number one, as Carter's, is the sour cherry. The sour cherry stout.
Professor Black. Blue Owl.
The only thing I would want is a little more of that stout body. But I feel like, I don't know if it had the stout body, I wonder if I would have ranked it number two.
I worry it would... overpower. Yeah, it wouldn't work.
I don't know.
I think they kind of found the perfect balance.
Yeah, I mean, they know what they're doing, but...
It's also a sour first before it's
a stout.
Is this
our first Blue Owl on the show?
Yes.
Is it?
We've talked about it because we've had it like as a break beer before.
Oh, yeah.
Tropical Brute as a break beer one time.
Right. Yeah, but we've never had it.
Blue Owl episode.
We should.
I'm working on it.
There's so many breweries in Austin.
Early next year, trust me.
I think we should make a match.
There's some DMs going on.
Cool.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I remember now.
Nothing is official yet.
But the yeah, like, obviously, like, they know what they're doing, and it's not a stout body for a reason. But I wondered, though, too, even though if I would get what I want, would that make it number two? Because I like the lightness of that Live Oak.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my ranking. Sorry it took so long.
It's Thank okay. you. Yeah.
Follow your dreams.
Yeah. So I'll do my ranking, and then we'll get to the one that really matters, Shannon's, because it is her mix six. Number six, I mean, I'm not going to fight the crowd here. There's a reason why we're all picking it. Rocky Mountain Rosé, not a good beer.
Doesn't taste like beer. It tastes like an okay seltzer.
I don't know. Wish that had been better.
I'd say an above average seltzer, but a bad beer.
It definitely piqued mine and Carter's interest at the store, and we were so split on what to actually get that I think both of us being interested in something made us go, yeah, that.
Yeah.
I wish we had saved the crawler of Funky Kingston we had done.
Yes, we definitely should have done that. It was right, it's staring us right in the face.
Yeah.
And we, in our...
Yep.
In our eagerness, drank it last night.
It was so good.
And it was so good. You would have loved it because it tastes like wine.
We'll take a trip to... We'll take a trip to Witchcraft to get a pint of it sometime.
Sounds good. I'm excited.
My number five, yeah, just like everyone else, this Pecan Porter tonight, even though it's one of my favorites right now, I'm not even going to tag it on Untappd to fuck up its rating as its ranking on my personal list.
Yeah,
there's something off about it. Maybe there's water in the crawler or the growler. I don't know.
Just something off.
It was off tonight, and it's not about what we think about it as a whole. I'm not going to let my past... love affair with it.
No, you're never going to have one ever again.
I'm going to have it so much. If there are two beers that I will be having more so often this fall and winter, they're both here tonight, and one of them is Pecan Porter.
It's called Pecan Porter, but I don't really get a lot of pecan in it.
It's got some astringency from the pecan. That's what I've noticed.
Well, this is not a good
pecan. Also,
this is just not a good
not a strong flavor. Yeah. Pecan's a pretty subtle flavor to begin with.
It works in the mouthfeel, and I think it actually the reason I like it so much.
Yeah.
Typically, is that pecan kind of helps fill out or at least counterbalance the like kind of the light body that you get from some porters, because some porters are a little bit watery already.
Yeah.
As opposed to stouts, but then we'll get into my number four, which is the Dragon's Milk. Like I said, I just
the Dragon's Teat
for something that is so barrel aged or is you know supposed to be barrel aged. I still prefer a Bourbon County Stout, a Kentucky Bourbon Stout,
yeah.
or a Kentucky Breakfast Stout, Canadian
Kentucky
Breakfast
Stout. Kentucky Breakfast Stout's good, too.
Yeah. There are some barrel-aged stouts out there that I think are just a little more wild, a little more what I want. This is very good, but I don't even know if I would pick it up over a regular milk stout. I think I would much rather have, in any instance, I think I'd rather have the Temptress over this. But going to my number three, pretty consistent with how we had in the tap room, Cellus Grand Cru. I love triples. It's a very good example of the triple. Maybe even better than my. It may be my new favorite local triple over Devil's Backbone from Real Ale.
Did we have that?
I don't know if you've had it or not.
I don't remember.
Robbie's brought it around. Yeah. We haven't had it on the show, but he's.
I think I've tried it from you. Yes. Yeah, I like this more. This is my favorite triple I've had.
I should give you the New Belgium triple. It's really good as well.
Probably.
Number two, and these are probably my most neck and neck here. Number two is Live Oak Berliner Weiss. Such a good beer. A little bit better on the draft with the syrup. Mm-hmm. It's kind of an experience I think everyone should have.
I liked it with the extra flavor of the syrup. This is a very good baseline, but I love having the extra flavor. Yeah.
And then number one, no question, that Professor Black knocked it out of the fucking park tonight. So I will, there's not much that I can add to it that people haven't already said. I'm going to go ahead and throw it over to Shannon.
All right, Shannon. That's
the most
Moment
important
of truth.
Ranking of the night.
It's like, I hated them all.
Well, all right, y'all. So not too much difference in comparison to everybody else's number six and five. The Rocky Mountain Rosé, didn't hate it, but I'm here to try some beer, and this was not really
Shit,
a beer.
She's here to try some fucking beer!
So...
She didn't come here to make friends.
Exactly. I did not come here to make friends, and I came here to drink some beer. So, Rocky Mountain Rosé, just long and short of it, didn't do it tonight. The Pecan Porter, I really wanted to like, and I'm gonna give it another shot. I'm not gonna judge it based on, you know, the... the one growler. We all have our. Everybody hurts sometimes. Yeah, sometimes you're day. Just
exactly. Caroline, if you're listening to this, bring us some pecan porter.
I say that's so weird. I'm excited to try some pecan porter in the future because I'm sure it's great. But yeah, no, this growler just wasn't quite doing it tonight.
Austin Zessen, if you're listening, have the Emerald Tavern do growler fills.
Yes.
Let me bring in my growlers too.
Let them do things one step at a time.
Okay, my number four.
Let me fill mine.
My number four correct. Is the Celis Grand Cru. Not a bad beer whatsoever. It just didn't stand out to me, I suppose, in the rest of the rankings. Like, it's a good, solid baseline beer, I thought. And there was nothing about it that was particularly offensive. Nothing that stood out to make me want to sing its praises either. It's like my middle, or my glorified middle. My number three is the Dragon's
Milk. Dragon's
yes,
Milk?
There we go.
Milk, yes.
The Dragon's Milk. I thought it was wonderful. I really enjoyed the fact that it was, I liked the creaminess. I thought it was quite nice. That's normally how I drink my coffee, so that was very accessible. Love the detailing of the dragon on the actual label, but, you know, going back to the flavor again, I thought it was quite nice. It was had a nice mouthfeel, and I did like the flavor, once again, of the milk in there. I thought that was really nice, and I think I'm finding that maybe I'm liking the chocolate more than the coffee a little bit more so, or if the coffee is the main note in the stout or porter.
Yeah.
There's a chocolate stout, trying to remember it, at the tavern.
Yes, there's a double
what's
chocolate stout.
Double chocolate stout. What's the...
The German double chocolate stout?
What's the name of the
that sounds...
I don't know.
Really? It's very good and probably right up your alley.
One of the ones that Caroline brought around the other night, that was the German chocolate cake from Flick's Brew House.
Also very good.
When she comes on, we'll do a Flick's Brew House episode.
Oh,
shit. She'll supply all the beer.
Yeah. I'll pay her, but sure.
Yeah, great. So, I mean, yeah, one of the great things about, you know, getting to be a guest on Tap Heads.
Two more.
Exactly. It's figuring out, though, like, what you like in particular. Yeah. Dragon's Milk is definitely one of them. My number two is actually going to be the Professor Black Sour Cherry Stout. I loved it. It was amazing. It kind of blew my mind that a beer can be that complex and have that many flavors attached to it. I will definitely be – this will not be the last Professor Black Sour Cherry Stout from Blue Owl Brewing
is
that I will ever have.
To drink a full six-pack of a – Professor Black at a Halloween party next Friday asking for a friend.
Yes.
I don't see why not.
Okay.
I think it's
you have to come dressed as Professor Black.
As the Blue Owl.
Yeah, as Blue Owl.
The Blue Owl.
But you gotta wear like a black suit.
Okay, we'll see.
Yes.
But I mean, if you're coming, you can do whatever you want. Thank you for coming to my party.
We'll talk about my costume later.
Absolutely. And my number one of the evening is going to be the Live Oak Berliner Weiss. I love it hit different tonight.
It hit different.
You were all over it.
So crisp. So, and honestly, I mean, I thought this baseline was, if this is just the baseline.
That's true.
What does the elderflower and the woodruff and all of that, you know, add on top of it? So this, I mean, the fact that it's a very customizable flavored beer makes me very happy, and I just so refreshing. And once again,
I highly recommend you check out anything Blue Owl and anything Einhorn.
Einhorn's gone right now.
Yeah, no,
that's right. Anything Blue Owl.
Yeah.
They're all sours.
So
some are more closer to the Berliner Weiss than this.
Kind of like going back to what we typically do at the start of the episode, but like things to try or like things that we tried. I had the Sippin' Pretty at the tavern. Mm-hmm. It's a sour beer. Very beautiful color. I don't remember if it was as sour as like
sour
this beer.
Try too.
But there's so many beers and I'm so excited. Like sours are just like so fun. Because like typically sours, or at least the sours that I've had aren't like heavy beers, or they don't taste heavy, which is nice.
Right, definitely.
We need to go take these two to Celis to get cherry bombs, is what.
Ooh. Yep. Very exciting.
Yeah, but we're already going super late on
this one. We're doing pretty long.
Yeah, So, as we all know, that means that Rocky Mountain Rosé is going home this week. Oh, wait, that's the other podcast that Shannon's on.
Whoa, what podcast are you guys on?
That's, I know.
Film practice.
What is this?
Every
crossover
Friday
the
now.
The only other show on the internet that has Robbie and Carter on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Film practice.
And now, including Shannon.
For yes. Now.
Film practice every Friday. Please check us out. We're doing Halloween. When yeah. this will come out, we will have...
done most of Halloween.
Done most of our season. But check it out. We're back.
Actually, yeah. We'll have two
we're
episodes
back,
after
baby.
This one comes uh-huh. out. We'll have our yeah, score have episode and our...
We'll no. have our score episode tomorrow.
Yes.
So check that out. Friday. The 25th, I believe.
Yeah.
26th. And then, yes, our... Or 26th. And then, yes,
no,
our...
25th.
I'm right. Yeah, 25th. And then our best picture will be the week after that.
Yeah.
So please check out. And then our next season, we just figured out what it's going to be.
But we're not saying it
no,
yet.
We're not saying it yet. But we not just figured out what it's going to be. But we're very excited for y'all
to
listen
out.
And
it's
find
going
out.
To
so
be
stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stunning.
Quick plugs, real quick. You can find Carter at CA Spilliards, like spill something in your yard, and add an S on Twitter
correct.
And Untapped.
Yep.
Maybe. You can find Wendy on Twitter and Untapped at
can
Wendy
I plug
with a W.
You too?
What?
Texas Monthly Barbecue Fest, November 3rd, Sunday. If you want to buy tickets, 25% off, use the code TMFAMILY.
You can find me on Twitter and Untapped at Robbie DeShazer. And you can follow the show at Taphead Show on Twitter. Yeah, that's our only place. Shannon, do your plugs.
Yes, absolutely. You can find me at... well, if anybody watches movies listening to this, which I'm sure is the case, you can
Film
check me out on Letterboxd at Zed's Dead 5. I don't really remember my Twitter. It's something like...
Wide and Nerdy.
Wide and yeah, at Wide and Nerdy. I don't really tweet all that much. It's a lot of retweeting Killing Eve. So if you're into Killing Eve or anything with Sandra Oh or Jodie Comer,
follow them
and follow me as I endlessly retweet everything. And you can also check out 90 Films movie reviews at 90films.co. I'm currently getting back into my ongoing project of reviewing every single Best Picture winner at the Oscars and any other movie that strikes my fancy. So be looking for a Lucy in the Sky review coming up. So thanks for having me, y'all.
Cool. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We are sufficiently drunk at this point.
No, I don't think so.
But
if you're at the end of the episode, go and listen to the interview.
Okay. Good. Always, yeah, as always, drink responsibly. And
love you.
We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Woo.
Bye-bye.
Woo. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Tapheads. Make sure to give the show a 5-star rating wherever it is that you're listening. It really does help the show out. If you want to help buy us a beer, you can by going to anchor.fm/tapheads and click support this podcast. We love the support from our fans and we will be eternally grateful to you. You can always follow the show on Twitter at tapheadshow. And finally, remember to always drink responsibly. Thanks for listening and we'll be back with a new episode soon. Media.